Folks, I'm not sure if you are one of these people or not, but I hear that most young Americans today, and not so young Americans too, their primary source of national and international news is not your typical 6:30 news in the night, in the evening. Most people get their news with the late night shows. So Stephen Colbert, Jon Stewart, these are not just great comedians. They are fabulous news anchors who are able to take serious news and weave it into this genre of comedy and make it easily accessible and palatable to people. I can't tell you how many young people find their news source from Comedy Central. There is a downside to, I love watching these guys when I'm awake, but the downside of this genre is that sometimes very serious things, like war, when they're dealt within the context of comedy, sometimes they lose the gravity that topics like war deserve. This happens with sitcoms too, right? So sometimes you wonder whether sitcoms reflect life or life is trying to imitate sitcoms. So the other day, just having dinner, I turned the TV on and Modern Family was on. And today's first reading, the story of Abraham, in the context of a completely different issue, was mentioned in one line, just one line. Oh, you mean the God who gave an old man a son and then asked him to be stabbed? Ooh. To the undiscerning mind, something that is a great sitcom can throw a very deep religious experience and treat it like it does not deserve the gravity that it does. This doesn't just happen on late night shows. This is not just a problem with sitcoms. We can do this too. We too sometimes can strip faith and religion of the gravity that it deserves. And this, I'm saying, can often happen with Lent. We have entered the second week of Lent, and my homily today is not so much about the readings, but I'm going to use the readings to make sure that we give Lent the gravity and seriousness it deserves. And I want to propose three ways in which we can make Lent a really meaningful experience for each one of us. The 6 weeks of Lent involve something really serious. They are the most significant events of our salvation. These events have eternal implications. So here are the three ways in which we can make Lent meaningful for us. First, approaching Lent with profound awe. And I'm going to use today's readings to explain that. Let me begin with the gospel passage of the Transfiguration. When Peter, James, and John got up the mountain, scripture tells us they were dazzled by the event. They were dazzled. Peter was the only one who could find some words to say, but even Mark tells us that he hardly knew what to say. They were so terrified. Now, scripture commentaries tell us the Greek word ekphobai, which translates as terrified, does not mean fear-filled or being afraid for their lives. That's not what it means. It means rather awestruck. In other words, the disciples were struck with awe. They saw this dazzling sight and they are so filled with awe. And I would like to suggest that we approach Lent with a sense of awe. So those of you who are, let me give you an example. Those of you who were here last week for the children, for Mass at 11 o'clock Mass, you remember this little girl who, at the Liturgy of the Word, right, we gathered everybody here and I asked the kids, what did you give up for Lent? And somebody said, gave up candy, and someone else said, oh, well, I forgot. And then the third kid said what? I gave up lying for Lent, right? First, the congregation gasped. Secondly, the congregation laughed. But this kid, I wonder what she was, she realized what she was doing. She's first of all admitting that she lies. Secondly, she's admitting that I need to change. This kid teaches us what it means to approach Lent with a sense of awe. Very often, the Lenten penances that we have, sometimes they become ends in themselves. So I can feel very good if for 40 days I do not have coffee, the sense of self-accomplishment, if I don't have pop, if I don't have beer, if I don't have meat on Fridays, boy, that was a good Lent, right? But is that really approaching Lent with a sense of awe? Our Lenten penances should symbolize a deeper movement, and that's what that little kid was teaching us. There's something deeper going on inside. I am going to become a better person. And so I'm suggesting that Lent is a time when we are ready to be awestruck by God. Approach Lent ready to be dazzled by God, to be mesmerized by God in prayer. If giving up coffee or pop or Lent is not accompanied by a deep conversion, nurturing of a sincere sense of discipleship, reconciliation within and without, sincere charity, then I'm suggesting that Lent can become like Comedy Central. We can deal with something very serious, but take it very lightly. So that's the first thing I'm suggesting. Approach Lent with a sense of awe before God. Secondly, let's make Lent a time for undaunted obedience to God. Is the story of Abraham merely the story of God giving an old man a son, only later asking him to be stabbed to death? Is that what it's all about? The logical end of the story of Abraham and Isaac is found in today's second reading. I wanted to hear what Paul says. Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything along with him? Now, we do not expect sitcoms to deal with the seriousness of salvation history. We don't. But we can deal with it. The story of Abraham and Isaac is a story of undaunted obedience to God. What Abraham did not know is that what God demanded of Abraham, God demanded of his own self. The only difference is, on that day Abraham's son was spared, but today Paul says that God did not spare his son. Abraham couldn't have foreseen that. Abraham did not know that. And it was not Abraham's business to know that. Abraham could not see so far into the future. All Abraham needed to do was be radically obedient to God, which Abraham did. Obedience to God means a movement away from ourselves. Isn't that why Lent is always called a period of self-denial? Lent is a time when we take the focus away from ourselves, but rather focus on what God wants. And that is why Lent is not so much about what God can do for us, but what we can do for God. So here are a couple of questions that I'm going to raise, and I'm raising these questions for myself to see if we can approach Lent with a sense of obedience. Can I lay what is most dear to me at the altar? Think about what's most dear to you. Can we lay that at the altar? Am I willing to sacrifice that which is most precious to me, trusting that God has a plan? There is a reason why today's gospel reading ends with the words, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." So really then, I'm not saying that God is asking you to sacrifice your son or your daughter at this altar, but it's a good question to ask. What is it that is precious to me? What is it that is the most dear thing to me? And where does God fit in all of that? I wonder if we can make Lent a time of listening to him, of radical obedience to God. And thirdly, Lent is a time for profound conversion. Let me return back to the story of the Transfiguration. In the story of the Transfiguration, there is a going up the mountain and there is a coming down the mountain. They go up with Jesus and they come down. On the top of the mountain, Peter said to the disciples, Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents." In other words, Peter has a vision of how this is all going to end up. How wonderful, huh? To be in God's presence, to see God's glory, to be dazzled by it. And Peter says, "Oh gosh, it feels good. Let's be here forever." And Jesus says, "You got to go down." And so he takes them down. And that is hard. In other words, Peter has to change his vision. He has to stop looking at this event the way he is looking at it and really looking at it from God's perspective. And that is conversion. That really is conversion, to look at the events of our lives and stop looking at it from our perspective, but rather look at it from God's perspective. So truly, I guess the question that I'm going to raise is, are there areas in our life where, like Peter, we're complacent? Really, I want to maintain the status quo. There's nothing that I want to change. This is okay. Are there areas in my life where I'm too comfortable? Resistant? Insistent? Rebellious? Unyielding? And what does it mean today for us to come down from our mountain? It feels good to be here, Lord, but Jesus says, no, we really got to go down the mountain. What does it mean for us to go down the mountain? Can God expect genuine conversion in some area of our life this Lent? So three things then. Lent as a time to be awestruck by God. Lent as a time for us to develop undaunted obedience in God. And thirdly, Lent as a time for us for profound conversion, to look at life from God's perspective. Unlike Abraham's son, today God sacrifices God's son one more time. Bread is broken, blood is shed. This Eucharist is our transfiguration experience, and we have all come up the mountain. As the Eucharist progresses, may we be dazzled by God. May we listen to Jesus. And may we bring about profound conversion in our lives. People of God said,